Good morning. You're listening to FloridaDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. I'm in Orlando, Florida, and I'm at the StarNet meeting with Mark Bischoff, the brand new Vice President of Vendor Relations. Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Kemp. It's wonderful to be here in Florida.
Thanks for spending time with my audience. So you've just been named and took the role April 1 as StarNet's Vice President of Vendor Relations. People close to this organization know that you're replacing Fred Williamson at the end of the year. So let's start by talking about your past. 22 years in the business, started out, I believe, with Johnsonite, right?
With Johnsonite, right out of college. I started in customer service and then took a field role about a year later and was many years in the field. And then at one point in my career, I was responsible for the Tarkett relationship with the StarNet organization nationally. Then after that, I became responsible for the Resilient Salesforce commercial for Tarkett North America. So it was a great run at Tarkett and Johnsonite. Grew up there.
And so then you went for a short period of time with Mohawk, and then you come over here, right?
That's correct. I spent a brief period of time at Mohawk helping to reorganize their commercial sales force around the concept of segmentation. And this opportunity came up, and I was fortunate enough to be selected.
And you're from Columbus, Ohio, originally, right?
I actually grew up in the Cleveland area, which is near the original Johnsonite facility. And today I live in Columbus, Ohio.
And you'll stay there in this role?
For now, yes. Uh-huh. There might be advantages to living in another part of the country, but right now Columbus is good for me and good for StarNet.
So you've got, what, about 6 months to work alongside Fred, and then Fred retires, and you take that whole responsibility, right?
That's correct. The StarNet board was concerned about continuity of leadership with the organization. Obviously, when you have Fred in place for a long period of time, they wanted to make sure that we preserve that level of expertise on the industry as much as possible, and also the relationships with the vendor partners and the members that Fred's held for the organization for many years. And also with Gene having so much time with the organization, the board was concerned about continuity once they decide to do other things. And obviously, my responsibility is to make sure that we maintain that continuity for the organization and the members.
One of the things I definitely don't want to fail to mention is that you were a student or apprentice under Carmen Pastore. What a great guy. So you have a lot of his characteristics, don't you?
Well, Carmen's much better looking, but he provided great mentorship for me along with his partner in business, Jeff Petita. Those two were together for many years, and they gave me the best of what they had.
Well, I can't ask you, since you've just had this job 3 weeks, what challenges you're facing. So let's go with your job description. Summarize that for us, if you would.
Sure. A lot of this is what Fred's done instinctively for many years. But for me, it's to make sure that we maintain our vitality in the relationship between the vendor partners and the StarNet organization. They have goals that they want to achieve every year. We want to make sure that we're part of helping them accomplish their goals for sales growth or new product launches. We want to make sure that the story that they're telling to end-user clients and the architectural and design community can be held up in the field. And the membership is adding basically half of the value to that product. Once it's on site, we deliver the second half of the value that that product might provide, and some would argue a little bit more. So our first commitment is to the vendor partners that support the organization. And then beyond that, like any great organization, we want to have a footprint that is positive for the industry and for the membership, and that we're adding value every day. So part of the challenge for us moving forward is how we maintain the voice in the marketplace through all of the changes, transitions. Manufacturers are buying each other, brands are changing, the distribution model is changing rapidly. There's a lot of private equity interest from outside the industry, which is terrific. And in my career, this has probably been the hottest time for investment in building products in general, but also flooring. And part of my role is to provide the stability for the vendors to continue to go to a proven demand-generating organization so that their investments pay off over and over again.
All right, so the fact that you've taken this role probably speaks to your belief that the StarNet organization is not only vibrant, but has, I mean, if you're going to sink your career future into it, probably has viability for a long time to come.
Yeah, I think so. The interesting thing for me, a lot has changed since the early 90s when I started my career, when StarNet was first brought into the marketplace. This is all pre-internet years, so that there's been huge changes there, and the brands and the power position in the marketplace has changed significantly. And the consolidation, the experiment with Shaw contract flooring and resource and the DuPont program, all of those things kind of shape the industry as it is today. There's been quite a bit of demand generation investment on the manufacturer side for a number of years. I think that may change over the short term as the manufacturers become multi-surface companies. The larger ones are not only offering carpet, they're into countertops and ceramic tile and resilient flooring. They're manufacturing globally. It's very difficult to maintain the front end of the business once you have that many different types of products you have to manufacture. So I believe that there may be some retreat in the investment on the front end of the business on the manufacturing side. Obviously, StarNet can fill the role in that demand generation part of the industry and let the manufacturers focus on making new innovative products using new materials, keep their investments there, and we can work on the demand generation side. We've seen it in other industries where manufacturers have adjusted, and after some forays into the front end of the business, selling, distribution, marketing, they've retreated, and it's been better for the channel and better for the manufacturer. Automotive was one of those areas where you saw that. The automotive manufacturers radically changed their distribution model on the dealerships, and it was good for the dealer and it was good for the automotive companies, and they've kind of stepped back after that adjustment. Seems to be working pretty well for the automotive industry. That may be a similar trend we see in the flooring industry.
One of the things that definitely has happened, I mean, obviously the internet usually in the long run will flatten the channel. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, what falls out, whether it be distribution or potentially contractors. That's some of the options that are out there. Hopefully not that, since that's what StarNet is. In consolidation, you have these very large companies. None of them are part of StarNet. Is StarNet one of those leveling phenomenons where it gives the medium-sized companies more feet on the ground? Do you see that as a potential role?
Sure. On the front end, the demand generation, StarNet certainly plays a role. The other thing that StarNet does is it will be more and more difficult for small manufacturers to have innovative, potentially niche products to enter the marketplace and grow like they did in the past. I think if they have something really great, they'll probably be acquired rather quickly rather than reaching medium size. They may never reach medium size, and that would be good for the owner of that company, but probably not good for the industry because we'll see less innovation, not more. So in many ways, StarNet could play a role in helping these smaller companies enter the marketplace, provide validation for what they're doing, introduce end users and architects to those new solutions in a quick way. The other thing that is helpful is we also develop smaller members into very large members. So there is an opening in the cooperative for businesses of all sizes. We have some very large members, and then we have quite a few small and medium-sized companies. And that diversity helps the organization. It helps us be more effective. It also helps us cover more geography on behalf of the manufacturers, because it's hard to deploy from a manufacturing site into a lot of the B, C, and D markets, whereas StarNet can cover those markets for the manufacturer.
You know, history's told us, you mentioned earlier about where DuPont and Interface and Shaw got into the ownership of this arena. History has told us that the entrepreneur usually does a better job in the installation area. I mean, that's probably should carry on, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think so. And the models have proven out post-internet. So if you think about examples at Airbnb or Uber, where you have a infrastructure in place that allows thousands of entrepreneurs to run a business around a brand, and they're all going to provide different levels of service and different experiences, but the network is the power of that kind of model. The same thing with StarNet is the network for these individual businesses. That is common today. When StarNet was formed, we didn't think about the internet or Uber or any of these wonderful business models that are available today. But it's very well accepted, and I think there's a lot of comparisons that can be drawn to some of these interesting business models that have developed just in the last decade.
All right, Mark, it's great to talk to you and catch up with you. And looks like you've got your feet solidly on the ground here as you take this role. Again, been talking to Mark Bischoff and his new role at Starnet as Vice President of Vendor Relations. And you've been listening to Kemphar and FloridaLead.net.